I have, this past week, something's been going through my mind. The value of a fruit market. You ever go to a farmer's market? You could go to Walmart and get vegetables, fruit. But then here comes a place, maybe they let several farmers get together in a parking lot somewhere. And they have produce that they're bringing. And maybe, or maybe it's not a parking lot. Maybe you're going down the road and there's a farm here. And someone has made just a little roadside stand out in front. You know the value of that roadside stand? It may be that we just picked this corn this morning and put it here at the stand. It is very fresh. The vegetables that we've gotten. Kind of what got me thinking about this was this past week I was in Ohio with Clint. And he said, we need to go to the store. So instead of going to Walmart, which was real close, he drove over to a farmer's market where you can get something that's been picked today, something that is very fresh. You also sometimes, and I see it right over here, sometimes when we're leaving meeting, there'll be someone with a pickup load of watermelons. And up on the side of the truck, he has them cut in slices. Now, why did he do that? I mean, it's going to draw flies. But what he wants you to see is, look how good this is right here. And have you saying, look how red that watermelon meat is. I've just got to stop and have some of this. Well, I have a verse that I want us to look at this morning. Because I'm not really interested in those roadside stands. But what I want us to think about is our life, every one of our lives, is like a roadside stand. For people to come by and see the produce from my life. Let's look at a verse. Psalms 34 and 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know what? From the life I live to those that come in contact with me, I want it to be like this watermelon truck over here. If you could just stop and take a taste of this, you would be wanting, you'll take some home with you. Or those places where they have fruit that has just been picked. I just want you, if you could even take a slice of this peach right here and you taste it, you would be wanting some more. Well, my life is like that. And I have to stop and think. The produce that's coming from my life, is it something that would cause people to say, I want some of that? Or would they say, no way, I don't want any of that? You know, for me to have desirable fruit on display at my stand that people are watching my life, I have to be real careful about the seeds that I plant to be able to have a harvest. You know, the harvest is going to be the same as that seed that I planted. And here is a seed that gets planted sometimes. Over in Hebrews, this can happen in our lives. Hebrews 12 and 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, who would want to partake of that fruit that can come out of my life? There are people that are eaten up with bitterness. And you know what flows out of them? And if we could think of it as a fruit stand, what our neighbors, what the people that come in contact with me are able to see. You know, I don't want bitterness to be what they see, because that's not something that somebody would want to say, I'd like to have some more of that. So I want to be real careful of the seeds that I plant. There's a seed that will cause bitterness to start. You know, there are seeds of something gets planted in my heart. Somebody has done me wrong. You know what? A seed can get planted and it can start something growing called unforgiveness. And that thing can grow and get bigger and bigger. And you know what happens is, it's like everything else that I plant. After a while, some fruit starts coming from it. Unforgiveness is that way. And if people are watching my life, and here's the produce that's coming out of my life, I don't want it to be unforgiveness that they see. So what we have to do is I got to watch out what I plant in my garden, because there's going to be a farmer's market one day where people are going to be able to see the things that are happening in my life. Here's a song that we sing. We are sowing every moment seeds that are going to yield either good or bad. And each one is surely growing, and it's going to either cheer other souls or make them sad. And we get to watch this throughout our life, not just ours, but I get to watch other people and the things that flow out from their life. And when I think about it as being their roadside stand, and what do they have to offer to other people? And then I have to say for myself, Lord, help me to have on hand the things that are produce that I can say, taste this and you'll want more of it. Seeds of kindness will cause us to have a repeat customer. You know, it's one thing for somebody to stop at the watermelon stand. They see this one cut and it looks real good and they buy one and it doesn't look like anything like what they saw on the stand. But you know what? When I plant seeds of kindness in my heart, I can have people that will come again and again back for more of that. And an example of that I saw, and this is over in Acts in the 9th chapter. There was a woman that died. Her name was Dorcas. And what had she been doing? What was her fruit stand like? The events in her life and what she had done for others. It said that she was full of good works and alms deeds that she did. So her, if we could think of a roadside stand for Dorcas, the things that just flowed out of her life that was available for other people, this woman died. And it said that when she died, people started coming. And what they did was they came showing the produce of the fruit that had come out of her life. What was it? It said they showed the coats and the garments that she had made for them. She didn't intend for, you know, down the road, they're going to really think I'm something. It was just what flowed out of her life. And it has made me to say, Lord, help me in my life. We're planting seeds. I'm planting seeds in my heart that will produce something for other people. Will it be for good or for bad? Have you heard this saying, the peach truck is coming? Anybody hear that lately? Yesterday, I went to Valero to get gas in Guthrie. And when I turned in, I thought, this chicken place must be really having a sale, because this parking lot is full. They had people out to the highway in a double row. And I said, what sale do they have going on today? And then I looked and the double cars go to this semi-truck. And it was Cunningham Peaches. Now, you know what? Why did that truck have a long line out there? It wasn't his first time of coming. You know what? People have tasted of that fruit in the past. And there was, Brother Dennis was talking to me about it coming to Yukon. It was going to be early in the morning when the truck would get there. He was there before daylight, and there was already some in a line waiting. Said by the time he left, there was a line of people for a long ways around the parking lot. How would you like to have fruit in your life that caused people to say, I'd stand in line? They would bring a semi, and they would be sold out in a few minutes. Ready, have to send the truck back. And there's another truck that comes from Georgia. Every once in a while, they see the peach truck is coming, and there's a long line. There's a reason for that. They have repeat customers. They have a product, and their product is, we picked this fresh from Colorado, put it on this truck, and it'll be in this parking lot tomorrow morning. And they have built a reputation. So what I want to think about is, I want my life to have desirable fruit like that. So I want to talk about one of the fruits that I want to check on. Hebrews 13th chapter and in the 15th verse. By him, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. How do we do it? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So this one is saying something that I can do for the Lord is the fruit of my lips. What is that? The words that I say. So what I want to look at is this title today, the fruit of my lips. Would it cause there to be repeat customers that would like to come back for more? Or would they say, I would never recommend it? Because, you know, they have these things on Facebook or Guthrie page or different things to where, you know, a restaurant has only a small window of either being successful or closing their doors by people that come and have one experience that's bad and they post it and say, I would never go back there again. What about my life? The fruit of my lips, the words that I say, will it cause people to say, that is refreshing. I would like to come back for more. Or would they like to say, I would tell everybody, don't go there. So I think of this song. Guide my words that they be spoken in such kind and gentle way. They may heal a heart that's broken. Someone's darkness turn today. That my words would have the ability like that peach truck. There's people lined up because somebody has told somebody else, hey, you just got to go down there and get you some of those. What about my words? Let's look at a verse over in Proverbs. Proverbs 25. Because, you know, I don't want this to be just for me for Sunday morning. Tomorrow morning when I go back to work, or tomorrow morning when you meet up with somebody, maybe you meet up with someone in the Walmart or anywhere. Let's be thinking about this. I've got a fruit stand here. It's my life. And I'm putting on display some fruit. This fruit is that we want to talk about this morning is the fruit of my lips. Proverbs 25 and 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A word that is said at the right time. You know, I have to say, Lord help me. I can say the same word, but if it's at the wrong time, it's not successful. So this one says, Lord, if I could just have a word that's said at the right time. And I'm going to need the Lord's help to help me to know when that is. A word fitly spoken. As they come to my life, am I a peacemaker or an agitator? It's all done with words. There's a verse in Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers. How is peacemaking done? It's usually with words. A word fitly spoken. There's another verse over in Proverbs 15 and 1. And in these verses, I'm saying, Lord, help me with the produce. It's making me realize, you know what? I've got like a farmer's market here. It's out in front of me. It's on display. Today, is what we're looking at is the words that I say. Will they bring back repeat customers or will they say, I'm out of here? This one in Proverbs 15 and 1, a soft answer will turn away wrath. Have you had that happen in your life before? Someone is maybe very upset at you. You can have many things to say back, but the only one that's going to help is the soft answer. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened. A soft answer will turn away their wrath, but that verse doesn't end there. Grievous words are going to stir up anger. We get a choice. What kind of produce am I going to have out of my life? Lord, help me to be able to realize the value of this fruit that I'm going to have on display. A soft answer can turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So it made me think about, as a boy, we would all, you know, we'd get together, boys, as boys will, and maybe one of them says, I'm going to beat you up. Now, what kind of words you going to have coming back from that? You know, we'd be teasing back and forth, and here's the one that I would tell them. I'd say, you better pack a lunch because it's going to take you a while. Now, was that a soft answer I mean, depends on what boy it was that it went to. Grievous words have an opportunity to stir up anger. So I think about those things for us. What kind of fruit is coming out of my life? Because there's a lot of instruction in Proverbs. Here's another one. This one we want to always keep before us. Proverbs 26 and 17. He that passes by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him. Have you ever gotten involved? You're just walking by a situation and you hear even maybe just part of what's going on, and you decide you can help the situation, so you hop in there, and it's usually with words that you jump in with, and you start giving them, and what does it tell us there? It gives us a little bit of instruction. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife that doesn't belong to him, he's like one that takes a dog by the ears. Now, if you have a vicious dog coming and you happen to be quick enough to take him by the ears, you know what? You can control him and not be bitten for a while. For however long you can hold him by the ears, but the clock's ticking and he's getting madder and madder. You're going to have to let go sometime. Have you had this happen in your life where you stepped in with words on a situation and you realize quickly, I wish I had not said anything. I wish I would have passed on by. I would have been much better off. I have it in my own life to look at. You know what I did was I put some produce on the stand right here and stepped off into something that I should have let go. And here's the results that comes from it. There is a story that I've read many times, probably all of us have, in the Bible. And I never saw this part of it. We're talking about the fruit of our lips and what happens because of what I said. In the 27th chapter of Genesis, it's the story about Isaac and Rebecca. And some years have passed by. And Isaac is now blind. The father is blind. Jacob and Esau are his sons. Esau is the oldest son. And Isaac comes to him and says, "Son, it looks like my days are numbered. I want to bless you before I die." He's blind. He cannot see. And so he says, "I want you to go out. You're a hunter." Esau was a hunter. He said, "I want you to go out and kill some fresh meat, cook it up for me, and then I'm going to bless you." Isaac's wife, Rebekah, heard that. There's another little verse that we read in that chapter that said, Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. You know, that's going to cause some friction to happen. It says that she heard, the mother overheard what the blind father has said, and she goes to Jacob, the other son, and says, "Look, he's gone. Esau has gone out hunting. He's going to be back in a little while. Do what I tell you, because I want you to have the blessing instead of him." He said, "Go out and kill a kid, bring it in. I'm going to cook it up because I know how he likes to have it." This is the mother talking. "And you go in and give it to him. He's blind. He won't know you from Esau." And Jacob sees right through that. I'm talking about the fruit of our lips, the fruit that I have that I'm giving to somebody else. Jacob sees through that and says, "Mom, that'll never work. I'll get a cursing instead of a blessing because Esau has hairy arms. My dad's blind. He can't see, but he's going to feel my arms. He's going to do some testing to see." She said, "Don't worry about it." She said, "In fact, if the curse comes, let it be to me instead of to you." This is fruit that's coming from a mother. And so she takes the hide of a goat and puts it on his arm. He walks in and tells his dad, "I'm here with a meal for you." The dad's blind. He says, "How did you get it so quick?" And Jacob answers, "The Lord blessed me to be able to get it this quick." He says, "Your voice sounds like Jacob's." And he said, "Come here." And he said, "Let me feel your arm." And somehow feeling his arm deceived him. And he says, "The voice sounds like Jacob's, but you must be Esau." And he blessed him. Well, it looks like all that's out of the way now. You know, we're talking about relationships and how words that we say, they don't really matter. They do matter. Because in just now he has got the blessing. And in a few minutes, Esau comes back with some meat, cooks it up, and walks in. And the dad realizes, I've been fooled. But you know, back then a promise was a promise, and he could not back out on it. How is Esau going to look at all this? Esau said, my dad's going to die soon. And when he does, I'm going to kill my brother. You know what all that came from? Some words that was said. Some directions that was taken. You know what it all came from? A mother that said, let's do it this way. So the mother realizes, you know what, Jacob's life is in danger. So she tells him, leave. Get out of here. Stay away for a few days until Esau's anger has cooled down, and then I'll send for you to come back. How long was Jacob gone? 40 years. And she never saw him again. She died before he came back. I look at those things, and then I have to look at our lives and things that can happen through words that are said. This is just one of the fruits that can be on display in my life. But I want us to realize how valuable it is that I realize, you know what, a few words that I say could take someone in a direction farther than I ever expected it to go. You know, Jacob's mother, Rebecca, did not see it to go to the length that it had gone. She didn't realize how long Dad would live. She didn't realize the anger that Esau would carry. And just in a few words, she only saw, here's what I would like for it to be. So I say for us today, for me today, there's a verse over in Ephesians. Because each one of us are living life, coming in contact with other people around us. Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. No corrupt communication is something more than just curse words that I would say. It's things that would not be a help to other people around me. But instead, let me have that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Then it goes on down. Here's another verse in the 31st verse. This is fruit that can be in my life. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. These are little seeds that I can plant in the garden of my heart that's going to produce something. It's going to come out and others will be able to partake of that fruit. And it's saying, let's get rid of all that. And then look at this 32nd verse. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. This is another seed that I can plant and have fruit that comes from my life for those around me. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Want to be able to walk with a carefulness. I want the Lord to search the fruit in my life. The reason is I judge myself different than God would judge me. There's a verse, and it needs to be all of our prayer. It's Psalms 139, 23, and 24. It's asking God, God, I want you to search. Search this garden of my heart. Search me, O God. Know my thoughts. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. These seeds that I have planted of things that have come to me have happened in my life and results that have come from it. Lord, I want you to do the searching because we've heard this morning even talking about these people that are very sick and could soon die and being even told, you know what, every one of us have a day that we're going to die and we want to be ready for that day. So in this verse in Psalms 139, he says, I want you to search out these areas of my heart because I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. I want you to show me things about myself. Seeds that I have planted, you know, there can be seeds planted from back when I was in childhood of something that was done wrong to me. It happens. We read about the Hatfields and the McCoys. That's a story from so many years ago. But you know, that happened from a little small event, and then it gets passed down. And there's always words that go along with what gets passed down. You know, there can be things happen generational that the children don't even know what happened. They weren't there when it happened. But it got passed down by words to where they can have as much anger and bitterness as the parents had when it happened to them. So I say, Lord, help me. There's a verse in Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This moves from, and it should move from, my words to my meditations. Because you know what? My meditation is before it becomes words. The things that I allow myself to think about. There's a scripture that says, bringing into captivity every thought. You know, if I don't want this thing to turn into a fruit that others are going to be partaking of, I've got to take it into captivity and I've got to stop that direction that it's going. It will happen to every one of us. Maybe it's different things, but there will be something coming to our life that the words that will be coming, we want to be careful about. So we say, there's another verse, James 1 and 19. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know what? It is so easy for me to get those mixed up. Let every man be swift to speak and then think about it. I heard this and I say something. Let every man be swift to hear. Let me be more swift to hear than I am to speak. And I've heard this said before. It is better to be silent and thought a fool than to open my mouth and speak and remove all doubt. The things that I say can reveal some things about me that if I would have kept it to myself. You know, there was things that happened in Mary, Jesus' mother's life, that she could have had so many things to say. You know what it says about her? She pondered these things in her heart. She thought about them. She didn't just say, okay, I'm thinking this and I'm going to say this. I say, Lord, help me. There's another song that we sing. Are you adorning the doctrine and making attractive the way? Honoring Christ by your actions, and not just by your actions, but also by the words that you say. I say, Lord, help me. I want to look at another place. Proverbs 31. This is a beautiful picture. Proverbs 31 and 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Next verse says her heart of her husband can safely trust in her so that you have no need of spoil. But I want us to go on down and look at something else that's very valuable. 26th verse. This woman opens her mouth. Now this is not just for women, but for men also. But this was one of the virtues that it had about this woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue, here's the fruit that comes. And it's like that peach truck. I don't think it just said one time, several years ago, I heard this virtuous woman say something that was the law of kindness. In her tongue is the law of kindness. You know what she's done? She's planted some seeds back here that caused some produce to come that she's got available for those that meet up with her. It's the law of kindness that comes out of the words that she says. And so I say, Lord, help me. You know, how did that peach truck become so popular? Because everyone expects the next load is going to be just as good as the last load that came. I want people to be able to look at my life and say, you know what, next year I expect the same delivery of fruit from that person. You know, I think about Brother Delmar Wilkins. He was just as quiet as could be. And I remember him saying through his life, you know, it really doesn't seem like I'm having much effect on anybody. But you know what? At his funeral, you could hardly have a place for everybody to sit. Because, quietly, he said something. The peace truck was popular because next year they expected and they saw. It's still the same fruit. You know, there's a something that I'd heard before, that a farmer used to put on his fruit that he delivered to be sold. He wrote on it, "Holiness unto the Lord." If that's what you saw on the top of a basket of fruit, would you say, "I tell you what, though, I better check the bottom piece underneath here, because it may not be like the others." Uh-uh. When you see that with a sticker or by the words that I say, you expect, you know what, I can take this, and if anything, the bad will be on the top and the better will be on the bottom. They want to display what they have. Holiness unto the Lord. There is a verse that tells us about something that I want to be real careful about in my words. In 1 Peter, this one is talking about Jesus. 1 Peter 2 and 21. "For hereunto you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow his steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Guile found in his mouth. Those are words that we say. If you ever go into court, and I think they still do this, this is told to you. You are to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, wait a minute. Aren't all those the same? No, they're not all the same. Because guile is the ability to mislead with a partial truth. What I said was true, but it was just enough of it to cause you to think something else. And I've used this example because it's very clear to me. In the past, I would tell Cheryl, "I weigh too much. I've got to go on a diet." So she's going to help me with that. She's going to encourage me when I come home from work each day. And how'd you do? So I come home from work. You know, I'm determined I'm going to lose weight. I come home from work and she says, "Dan, what did you have for lunch today?" I said, "Oh, I had a salad." And I did. That was the truth. You know, when I was a little boy, Mom and Dad told me, said, "Do not ever lie." Because there's one thing in the Bible that is so clear. All liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire. So I want to make sure I am not going to lie. So I didn't lie. I told her I had a salad, and I did have a salad. But you know what I held back? A salad does not fill you up. And so I stopped by and I got a pack of those chocolate donuts, and they helped to fill it up. I was told her the truth that I ate a salad, but I just held back, you know, rather than talk to her too long. I held back on something. You know, that's what was being said about Jesus. He did no sin, and there was no guile found in his mouth. What he said, you knew it to be completely true. You remember when he met Nathanael? He had never seen Nathanael before. But he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." There's no, what does it say? The ability to mislead with partial truth. That's something very valuable. I want to be on guard with that in my life. It also says in the 23rd verse, here's some more about Jesus. "When he was reviled, he reviled not again." You know what? That's one of the hardest things for us to do, is when someone is coming against us, to be able to be silent and let it go. When Jesus was reviled, you remember, even just before his crucifixion, Pilate would be saying, "You know, I have the power to deliver you to death or to set you free. You better start answering me." There would be times where he said he would answer him nothing, because that was the best thing to do at that time. Joseph, what fruit came from his lips? He could have so easily, when he was charged by the woman, he could have so easily gone out and told, "That was not me," spent the rest of his life. And if nothing else, if he would have allowed a root of bitterness to springing up trouble him, to where that's all he has to talk about while he's in prison. You think you got problems, let me tell you what happened to me, and I was innocent. You know, I think Joseph hit on a key that is very valuable for us to have peace in our life, and that is to just hand it over to the Lord. And even at the point when he saw his brothers who had sold him into slavery years before, and he says, "Don't be grieved with yourself. God had a plan in all of this that he allowed to come into my life. The virtuous woman, I want to have a goal for myself. I want to have in my lips the law of kindness. Because I want to tell you, there's a lot of fruit being displayed by a lot of people in the world today. There is anger. There is wrath. There is murder. There are all those things to where this one is going to really show up to the world around us when the fruit that I display from my life has with it the law of kindness, the words I say. So there's a song, number 275. I'd like for us to close with that. One of the verses says, Lord, I want you to keep me gentle and let no word from my lips be ever heard. How does he do that? Is he able to just put a clamp on my lips and chomp it down? You can't say that. No. What I'm asking him is, Lord, I want you to check me about the words that I'm saying before I say them. You know, there's times that I go back to the Lord later. Lord, why did I say that? Well, you were swifter to speak than you were to listen. This one is saying, Lord, I want your help with this. Keep me gentle. Let no words from my lips be ever heard that would wound a tender heart and would cause a tear of grief to start. We're growing produce in our garden, and we may not think it's out in the public to see, but it's like a roadside stand out in front of my heart. This is only one of the fruits. There are some other fruits that I'd like for us to talk about maybe even this afternoon. This is one of the fruits. This is the one fruit that people are going to see. And will I have repeat customers, or will people say, be real careful about him because he will cut you down in a jiffy? You ever heard somebody say, I gave them a piece of my mind? Usually that's not the law of kindness. Usually it wasn't. I gave them a piece of my mind. They went away so thankful for all the encouraging words I said to them. I say, Lord, help us each one. We're in a troubled world today. And I may not think that the fruit that I have is very valuable. But I tell you what, if I will watch the fruit of my lips, it will be able to help others. And just like that Cunningham truck, I don't know where he's going to be next week. But he had, wouldn't it be nice to have a job that you don't have to be out there cutting peaches and standing at the road and say, would you please stop and take a, I got a load of these things I got to get rid of before I can go home. Wouldn't it be nice to be working for a company that you don't have to go out and try to get somebody? They're coming to you. Because how did they know? They either tasted of it themselves before, they did taste of it of themselves before, but then they started telling others about it. You'll not find any better peaches than this. Lord, help us that by the life we live, the word will go out. If you want some help from somebody, he's got some words of encouragement for you. I desire your prayers. May we stand and sing that song.